Good afternoon, everybody. One of the departments at one of the hospitals where I'm doing some work has got a vast array of photos on it. Nature. There's some gorgeous photos there, taken by expert photographers. And there's two or three of them that always catch my eye. Night shots, pitch black sky, hardly see anything on the ground, and a bolt of lightning shooting across the sky. The immense power and strength in that strike of lightning. Nature at its roar. You've all seen the type of photos I mean, and you've all watched a thunderstorm with the lightning shooting across the sky. Have you ever stopped to think just how powerful a bolt of lightning is? It takes 20 milliseconds for the bolt of lightning to get from the clouds to the ground. In that bolt of lightning, there is several hundred million volts of electricity. And the current that is pushing that electricity is around 20,000 amps. Now, I speak from experience. A cooker point has 32 amps, and that can throw me across the other side of a room. So the power of this bolt of lightning is awesome. In the split second it takes for this bolt of lightning to come down, the air around it reaches 30,000 degrees centigrade, or five times hotter than the surface of the sun. And in that split second, the air molecules explode, causing the sonic boom. And that is one bolt of lightning. And in a thunderstorm, how many hundreds of bolts of lightnings are there? If you return, please, to Job 28, we see here, with Job's talking about wisdom, Job 28, and in verse 23, God understands its way, and he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heavens, to establish the weight for the wind, and mete out the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. God ordered the energy in this thunderstorm. He ordered how a thunderstorm would react. He set out the physical laws that would actually contain the bolt of lightning and the whole experience of the thunderstorm. God set out a decree, a law, and the lightning will do such and such. God controls these very elements of the sky, the most powerful elements that we see in the sky. Several weeks ago, Mr. Bowles sent out an email. Everybody here got it and read it. And it was about the planning for the feast, specifically the feast for our African brethren. And basically, Mr. Bowles went through a long list of potential problems that the African brethren face. The list of problems was long. There was making sure that they could receive the satellite connections, that the rain and the weather didn't interfere with them. There was continuous point after point that could go wrong and could stop the African brethren actually hearing the services and actually enjoying the feast and hearing what God wants them to hear. From a human point of view, looking down this list, there's nothing you can do. I sat there after reading and thought, well, how many sermons are they going to hear? One, two, you know. From a human point of view, with so many problems, that is basically the result. Mr. Bowles asked us to pray that the feast would go well. And I started praying that, you know, the problems would be resolved. But there was just so many of them. Start doubting in your heart that all of these things can't be put into place and our African brethren wouldn't hear the services. And while I was praying, I'm thinking, the prayer of faith will avail much, but I can't see how this is going to work. You know, there is just so much to be done. I was getting discouraged by the lack of faith. There were so many things that needed doing. Now, Christ had faith. He had faith in what he asked his Father would be done. And just imagine the scenario. Christ is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And there's the disciples out on the lake, and he's prayed to his Father, and he walks up to the water, and he tentatively puts one foot on the water and
just crosses his fingers that the water will hold his weight. And then he cautiously puts the next foot down.
I don't quite think that was how it happened. He knew that it would support his weight. He just walked out onto the water. He didn't doubt. It is us that doubt, and that causes the problems. If you turn to Matthew 17, Matthew 17, in verse 19, the disciples are talking to Christ. It was actually about the casting out of the demons. And the disciples asked him, why could we not cast them out? And so Jesus said to them, in verse 20, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move here or there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That is what we need to understand, that God is in control, and that if we have the correct faith, the faith of Christ, that it will happen. When you look at that and take that into perspective, the thunder and the lightning and the weather that will cause the satellite link not to work for Africa seems a little bit insignificant, but still there's that niggling bit in the back of your mind. If you turn to James 5, please. James 5 and verse 17. Halfway through 16 we'll break into it. Saying here, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he was human. He had the same faults as we do, same flaws. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. So that God has already answered what we're asking him to do for the people a long time ago, for his people back in this time. It's nothing different. We're asking God to do the same so that our brethren in Africa can hear the service. And then just in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. So Elijah prayed earnestly, and he believed in God that he would actually do this. Okay, so we can knock the weather off the list. That's not the problem now, so we can tick that one off the list. Then there's the power cuts, the fuel for the generator, and problems with the standby generators. Again, you start thinking, well, how on earth are we, if a bit blows, one of the fuses blows somewhere in a power station, it's going to be down for, a couple of hours. How on earth, is the power going to get through? They've got the satellite link, the weather's out the way, but now there's no power for the computer. And I was thinking about this, and I remembered back in the 80s, there was a lady, many of you have heard this example, there was a lady whose husband was very anti the church. She, every week, go to church, every feast day, go to the feast, and her husband was very anti. One year, coming up to the Feast of Tabernacles, she was really, really stressed about this. She prayed about it, and she noticed a change. Her husband actually picked up the bags and carried them to the car, kissed her goodbye and said, see you when you come back. She got in the car, started it up, drove off, went to the feast. Every day at the feast, went backwards and forwards to services, and then drove home again. Her husband met her when she got back, went out, helped her bring the bags back in, turned around to the sideboard and said, I think you might need that tomorrow morning to go to work, and passed her the coil he had removed from the engine. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I'm reliably informed if you take a coil out of a car engine, it won't start, let alone run. She went to church every day at the feast by car and to and from the feast itself. She obeyed God and he blessed her. Our brethren in Africa will be attending the feast. They will be obeying God. He will bless them. So we can tick that one off the list. It is something that God can take care of. He will work around a problem that, from our perspective, is impossible. Next thing on the list, money. Not the fact that we don't have the money there, it's the fact that we need to get the money to Africa. The bank account needs to be set up. And talking to Mr. Bowles, a bribe is commonplace in Africa. they'll take a percentage of it. You think our tax is bad enough. Apparently, you know, they'll just take a bit more. But the corruption and the officials there will, you know, take something for themselves and then turn a blind eye and things can happen. But the bank account needs to be set up, and there's all the problems involved in that. If you turn to Proverbs 3, this is the wisest man after Christ that's ever been alive on this earth, Solomon talking. Proverbs 3, just starting in verse 1, just to run into where I'm coming from. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on a tablet on your heart, and so find favour and high esteem in the sight of God and man. We are here today by writing God's truth on our hearts. The African brethren will be doing the same thing. Different time zone, different place. But they are our brothers and sisters, and they are doing exactly the same thing. The church, God's church, will find favour in God's eyes and in the Nigerian officials' eyes. God will cause it that will happen. Not only in the Nigerian officials' eyes, but the eyes of the people who own the suitable accommodation, so that they will look favourably upon the Nigerian brethren, that they will actually be able to have the proper accommodation. When you start going through each one of these problems and looking at it from how God has resolved it previously, it goes into small sizes, and it doesn't become something of unbelief. You can see that God has done it before, and he will do it again. This is exactly why Mr. Bowles asked us to pray that these things will be sorted out. Because from a human point of view, it cannot be done. With God on board, there is nothing that cannot be done. I, being an architect, have to look at things through an architect's eyes to try and get my head round how things will work. And when I actually sit down and look at that, I can comprehend how easy it must be for God to do these things. But from our viewpoint, it's difficult. I create a complex building in the office, a hospital. It's got multitude of different systems and engineering, you know, building management systems. And I know that I can modify them. I know that I can control how they operate. Even after the building is built, I know I can go in and I can adjust the environment for the users. The surgeon will come up and say, well, actually, I need some nitrous oxide to this room as well, please. He doesn't know how it happens. He knows how humans are put together from a human point of view. But I'll go away, do some drawings. A couple of days later, there'll be nitrous oxide in the other room. He doesn't know how it happens. He just knows that he's asked an architect to do it, and it will happen. How much more so can God take care of it? He created everything that we see around us. The hospital building that I've just described, complex from our point of view, it's absolutely nothing when you just look at the structure that this flower has got. The way that this actually grows. My buildings don't grow. This is actually growing. It's alive. How much easier is it for God just to put things into place? So let us pray as we've been commanded to pray for one another earnestly and with faith and without the unbelief, because we know that God is in charge. And with that, we know that our African brethren will have a good Feast of Tabernacles in a few months' time.